Well, it's good to be here this morning. I know we are up against lunch here in just a minute. How many of you are ready for lunch already? Yep. Come on, man. I'm telling you, and I'm right there with you. All I had for breakfast this morning was a banana. So whatever we're having, what are we having for lunch? That'll determine how quick I preach. And so, like, if it's a salad or something like that, we might be here a while, okay? But, you know, if it's, I don't know, walking tacos or something junk food-wise, you know, we're in. We'll preach quick and everything. And so it will be good. Here we go. John in chapter number 12. John in chapter number 12. And I love this passage of Scripture, and this is, I had something else on my mind to preach and everything, and then Brother Charlie preached along those lines last night, so we canceled that one out, and I should have sent you what I was planning on preaching, and then, he asked me, he's like, hey, what do you preach? I was like, I don't know, and so anyhow, but of course, Brother Charlie preached like 47 points last night, and so, of course, he was going to land on something I was preaching, but anyhow, I came into the end of the question and answer of the adults, and I was going to ask, how long you think you should preach to Brother Charlie and just find out what his opinion was on that. But you know what? You didn't give me the chance. Y'all prayed right when I came in. And so anyhow, we're going to make it quick. Here, my daddy always said, leave them wanting more instead of wanting out. And so that's what we kind of, you know, when we get done, you know, that guy could have preached about 5 minutes longer and that would have been all right. That's where we want to be right there. And if they were like, hey, man, you think the restaurant's still open? You know, that kind of thing. And so anyhow, I try to live by that. Brother Randy does live by that. And so he does. And so anyhow, John in chapter number 12, let's all stand. And the Bible says, then 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And when they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning for the next few minutes. God, I pray that you'd just give us something from your word. And we love you, Jesus. I love these young people. I'm thankful for them. Lord, the energy that's here, the excitement that's here, the willingness that's here, I'm thankful for that. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us now. In your name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. This morning, with the young men, we had a, I think we had a spiritual time, had a good time. I know we talked about turkey hunting, and we talked about deer hunting, and all those different kinds of things as well, which was a spiritual time as well. And so, anyhow, we did that. But this morning, I talked about, with our young people, and I'm not going to re-preach it, but I asked the young men, I said, how many of you have made a decision and then made it again? And I think everyone's, including my hand, went up. Made a decision and then had to make it again. And we just talked about the storms that come, and we talked about some things like that. But when it came down to it, really what it came down to was this, is that you got to stay in the Bible, and you got to stay faithful, and you just got to continue to walk with God. Now, this morning we see, this morning we see this passage of Scripture here. We see a lady who got at the feet of Jesus and begin to worship. We don't talk about worship in church hardly anymore because we're afraid of that word. But honestly, we should worship a lot more than we do. We should worship a lot more than we do. You say, Brother Luke, this is a teen meeting. This is not a church meeting. This feels like something you should preach at a church to adults and all that kind of stuff. The adults had their opportunity. Hey, you want to get worship going, you get some young people praising God and living for God, and it'll convict those old people into doing what they should have been doing for the last 20 years. It's just the truth. We're scared of that word worship. So when we come to this passage of Scripture, let's set the context here, if we will. And that is this, is that Jesus is coming to their house. Jesus is coming to their house. And when he gets there, he sets down and they begin to feed Jesus. And you know how it is whenever people get around and they get to talking around a meal and all this. And listen, I'm going to go somewhere here in just a minute, but before we get there, when they're sitting around, they're talking at a meal, you know how one person gets loud, and then the next person gets loud, and then the next person gets louder, and you know, especially when you got a bunch of guys standing around telling stories, and you know, and so they're trying to top one another, they're trying to get louder than the other person, and all this kind of stuff. And so as they're doing it, I just feel like that's the way it was. And you know, we can think about all the things that Jesus did, but again, that they did to prepare for him. And you know, I see here that the disciples were there, and the Bible says that there were many that were there because Lazarus was alive. They were there to see Lazarus. They were not there to see Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter number 6, in verse number 66, that them that followed and the ones that ate the meal in John chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says there in that first, I think it was 9 or 11 verses, however many it was there, it says that Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and the disciples gave it to the people. And the Bible says they ate until they were filled. That is in John chapter number 6, verses number 1 through about 10, 12, somewhere in there. And then in verse number 66 of the same chapter, the same ones that had eaten the bread and seen the miracle and were on the mountainside, the Bible says they walked with him no more. They walked with him no more. They were done. They were only there for the miracles and they were only there for the bread. I'm not going to preach long this morning, but this morning my heart is burdened for that crowd that you're going to end up, and Brother Charlie talked about it for a short while last night, but that's going to end up being that person in number 66 that says they walked with him no more. I want to talk about today something, just this one word, and that is this. I don't want you to forget it. Real. Real. We have a whole lot of people in our churches that are not real. It's true. I'm not mad at you. You say, Brother Luke, have you always been real? No. I'll tell you this, and I told the young men, listen, I don't preach at people, I preach for people. I'm not upset at you. I'm not mad at you. I don't look down at you. You say, well, why? Because I sat right where you sit. I was raised in church. I was raised in, I'm telling you, Brother Clark, you can relate with this, but I mean, I was raised in the height of whatever, fundamental, independent, all that kind of stuff, man. I'm telling you, I sat in there. I heard the greatest preachers, man, whenever I was a kid, I heard preachers that people talk about that they're dead and gone now, and they're like, these are the stalwarts and the ones, and I heard them. I had them in my home, and I literally sat on the couch and got to talk to them in our house as we would feed them in our home and all that kind of, listen, I've been around this thing my entire life. I am a second generation Christian, and one of the biggest struggles that I had in my life was not getting into sin. Hey, because listen, I had no opportunity to get into it. My dad was against everything. Like, literally, everything. He was against it all. I never had the opportunity. We lived out in the middle of nowhere. Still do, and I love it, by the way. It's awesome. Now, I'm being halfway facetious because, yeah, I could have if I was looking for it, but honestly, my daddy and mama did a great job raising me, and they kept me out of the world. If you got a daddy and a mama who are just keeping you out of the world, don't be mad at them because they don't let you have a cell phone. You ought to hug their neck. Don't be mad at them because they don't let you go. Don't be upset because they have some guidelines because they're just trying to keep you out of a mess.
And by the way, let me just say this. Guess what? When I became a parent, it was my first time. And I don't know what I'm doing, but I know this. I want my children to serve God and not get tangled up in the world. And you know what? You do yourself a favor and you do your parents a favor if you give them the benefit of the doubt. You getting mad at dad and mom? You're breaking one of the most plain commands in the Word of God. Honor father and mother. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. Give them a break. Cut them a break. They're going to make mistakes. And so are you. And if you cut them a break, when you make a mistake, guess what mom and dad might do? I don't know how I got off on this. I guess that's because I preach with no notes. But anyhow, it's okay. Some of us, we need to be real. See, we expect mom and dad to cut us a break. We won't cut them. That's not real. That's not genuine. It's a two-way street. We got a lot of young people who are upset because of guidelines, because they don't know the God of the guidelines. I had a slew of guidelines, and some of them I thought were dumb. Anybody think a guideline in your life? Let's be honest here. Does anybody in here think one of the guidelines in your life is dumb? Raise your hand. Oh, we only got about three of us. All right, I'm one. There were things in my life, I'll just be honest with you, that's dumb. I'm a 38-year-old man, and I remember back to some of the things that dad did, and I still think, like, I wouldn't do that with my kids. Not going to. Okay? So let's just be real here. There might be some things your mom and dad will look back and say, boy, I wish I hadn't done it. There might be some things, you know what, that was probably a poor decision, but they're trying to save your life. They're trying to save your life. They're trying to keep you from being that one who says they walked with him no more. How? Amen. How do I live that life? That's real. That's genuine. I don't get upset at authority. I don't hate the guidelines, and therefore, sooner or later, I hate the God of the guidelines. How do I do that? Worship. Worship. You notice how the Bible says that when she got at the feet of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, and she wiped his feet with her hair, the Bible says that she was down. There's no way to wipe the feet of Jesus with your hair without being on the ground. Pride will destroy your relationship with God every single time. Pride will put your eyes. You notice what? You notice what was going on in this passage of scripture in here? I'm just kind of shotgunning here. But you notice what was going on in this passage of scripture here? The disciples had their minds on the poor and on the money more than they did on the Savior. When we get our priorities wrong, though they may be good, hey, it's a good thing to feed the poor. Hey, and it's a good thing, listen, I don't think that you ought to go around broke. You ought to take care of your money. Okay, I'm not criticizing those guys, for their priorities. But the problem was not the money. The problem was not the poor. The problem is not the lost and dying world. The problem is our priorities are out of whack. This lady took everything she had, and she poured it out on the feet of Jesus, and she worshiped him, before everybody else. She got low before Jesus and before man, and she was not embarrassed by it. Today, if we are going to live for God in this wicked world and you're dealing with things, hey, listen, that all of us didn't have to deal with, us older people, we were laughing yesterday because we were like, children will never understand our childhood. We had that cord on our phone, and he talked about it. And we talked about how that we thought we were big stuff when we got the 20-foot cord. And we went into a prophet's chamber not too long ago, and they had one of those phones, those tan-colored phones, you know, that had the number written in it and the little white spot. And this one was actually the push buttons, which was an upgrade from the old turnstile, you know. And so anyhow, and it had the receiver on it, and it was there. And my kids ran in, they were like, man, what kind of computer is this? Yeah. And we understood, our children will never know what a true commercial break is. Anybody here identify with me? Remember when the cartoons were on Saturday morning, you know, and you didn't want to miss your show of whatever it was, and so a commercial break would happen, and you would go try to knock out your chores or whatever it was that you would do, and the family would start yelling, it's back on, and you would take running out of the kitchen, dive over the back of the couch and laying in the floor, you know, to watch whatever. Yeah, because the commercials came and they went. There was no pause. Nothing streamed. Y'all face a lot of things that we would never face. You have everything at your fingertips. Everything. The only way to remedy that is to stay humble. Get low. It's hard to fall when you're already down there. How do I live a real life? I worship God no matter who's looking. She worshiped God in front of her peers. She worshiped God in front of the preachers. She worshiped God in front of the Pharisees. She worshiped God. Old-fashioned worship. What is worship, Brother Luke? Well, we oftentimes think that worship is in a church house, and it is. But this lady right here did it in her home. She divorced herself from man's opinion and was concerned about God's opinion. So what we need to do today is divorce ourselves from man's opinion and put ourselves in a place where we care about what God says more than we care about what man says. How do I do that? Well, you got to know, as Brother Charlie preached last night, what God says. Find out what God says. What's God's opinion about it? I'll never forget. I was with a youth pastor, and he said one of the life-changing moments in my life was at Bible college, and it wasn't in a class. It was in a dorm room, and we were all having a heated debate. If you ever went to Bible college, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you were in those, I'm sure, about a biblical topic, you know, and everybody's going back and forth about their opinions. And he said, the guy looked at me and said, hey, what do you think about it? And he said, well, my dad always says, and he said, when those words came out of my mouth, he said, everybody in the room stopped me, and they said, we don't care about your dad. We want to know what you believe. And he's like, I just got quiet and walked out. And he said, it was like God said to me, you don't know what you believe. We've got a lot of people that walk with him no more because they don't know what God says. I told the young people, the men's, the split session there this morning, I said this. I said, we go from conference to camp to revival to conference to camp to revival. We make all these decisions, but the reason we remake them is because we're not walking with God day to day. If you want to be a real Christian, you got to worship God by being with him every single day. Amen. And making it a priority. Amen. Make it a priority. That's key. We have so many priorities of things that are important to us. If you love something, you'll always find the time to do it. If you love something, you'll always find the time to do it. I love to hunt, so guess what I find time for? I do, man. I mean, it's crazy. I love the duck hunt and all this kind of stuff, and it's amazing. I'll be tired, and I'll come in the evening and work the long day and all that kind of stuff, and it's 8 or 9 o'clock, and I come in, and I sit down in my chair, and I eat a little bit of supper and all that kind of stuff, and I go to bed at 11 o'clock, and my alarm will go off at 1:30 in the morning because I got to beat all the other people to the boat ramp, you know, and so at 1:30 in the morning, and there I am, and I get up, and I get in my truck, and I put my dog in the boat, you know, or in the back of the truck, and I'm hooked up to my boat, and I go, and all this kind of stuff, and I slept 2 hours. You say, what in the world? I love it. It's the only reason I do it. Only reason I do it. The only way you'll find time to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is if you love Him. If you love Him, you don't mind lift up a hand. If you love Him, you don't mind to say a word for the Lord. If you love Him, you don't mind to give a testimony. Hey, we got just a minute left over. Why don't somebody give a testimony? Sounds just like that. Well, nobody got nothing to say. Yeah, everybody's got something to say. The problem is you don't love Him. You can come up to me and say, hey, what do you think about such? One of the boys said, hey, what do you like to turkey hunt with? Man, I told him the gun, the choke, the shot size, the kind of shells that I use. I mean, all this kind of stuff. I'm going through all that kind of stuff. I mean, I love it. Hey, go ahead and ask me a question. Come to me after. I'll show you pictures. I got pictures. I can just scroll through my phone, man. I can show you all kinds of pictures of dead turkeys laying over the tailgate, okay? I can go through all that kind of stuff, and I enjoy it. Man, I love Jesus, preacher. I love, okay. Hey, man, I'm telling you, what do you think about this right here in the Word of God? I don't know. Never think about it again. People are lost and dying and going to hell, and we can't utter two words about Jesus Christ because we're not real. We're not real. We're too worried about what the Pharisees say. We're too worried about what the preachers say. We're too worried about what our peers say. And I don't think you do it on purpose. And I don't think you set out to do that. This is a long ways from what I was intending on preaching, but we got off on that rabbit trail. But I think it was a fat one, so we're going to chase him, okay? A lot of people that just aren't real. And I'm not mad at you. Because I sat where you sit. And there was a period in my life where I went through the motions and I wasn't a bad kid and I wasn't off in wicked sin. It just wasn't real. And at some point, the weight had to shift from being my daddy's religion and how I was raised to my relationship with Jesus. So as a second generation Christian here, speaking to first and second generation Christians, today, why don't we come down to an old-fashioned altar, and I'm done. I got points, but we never made it. This is a pointless message, okay, because we never made it to the points. Why don't we come down to an altar, and if we're not real, let's get real with God and ourselves. And say, God, I'm just going through the motions. But I want more. Did you know that the most frustrating life that you can live is the Christian life without Jesus? Say, how do you know? I've done it. You'll never be more frustrated than trying to walk this Christian life without the one who designed it. We got a lot of frustrated teenagers that are out there because you're following through the motions without a relationship with the one who designed it. And you're frustrated and you're upset and you're like, I don't get it. It's okay. I'm not mad at you for thinking that. I don't think Brother Randy's mad at you for thinking that. Man, Brother Charlie Clark reminded me of what my daddy said, and a lot of times we'll take and we'll as youth workers, and youth workers, by the way, we should never be this way. If somebody comes and asks us why we do what we ought to do, we ought to be able to give an answer for it. Amen. If you can't, might not ought to be doing it. We ought to have Bible for it. It's not a sin to ask why, young people. My daddy said it for years. Brother Charlie said it last night. He said, one of the things, I remember saying it for all these years. And Jesus asked, my God, why on the cross? If it was a sin, Jesus wouldn't have been perfect. And he couldn't have been that replacement for our sins. So therefore, if he asked why, then we can ask why. It's okay. But you better be willing to receive the answer from the Word of God. And don't become a scorner. Don't become one who hates the things of God, but receive the Word of God. So today, let's just get real. Let's just get real with ourselves, with God. Let's take a look inward. And just say, man, do I have that relationship? Because I don't want to see you fail. I don't want to see you mess up. I don't want to see you get out of church. I don't want to see you run from the things of God. I want to see you succeed and be faithful. The greatest life in all the world is the life serving Jesus. Hey, there ain't no life like it. There ain't nothing that compares. I was talking to my son on the way up here, and I said, man, I'm going to tell you, first few years of the ministry, I had things going on and problems and this and that and all that kind of stuff. And I said, hey, I'm going to tell you, you just got to stick it out. I'm having this conversation with my 11-year-old son on the way up here. I'm like, you just keep on serving God, because I said, I can take you back, man, in the last 5-8 years and just show you blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Hey, things that God has done, prayers that God has answered. And man, years ago, I thought, man, I don't know what in the world's going on. But I can just tell you the greatest life that you could ever live is a life in just dedicated service to the Lord Jesus Christ, having that relationship with Him and that walk with Him. And don't quit. Don't quit. He never quit on you. So don't quit on Him. And today, if you don't quit, you'll see those blessings. I love what Brother Charlie said last night. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. I can stand here today and say, I'm glad I never got off headlong into the world. I'm glad I never got drugs and alcohol and any of those addictions of the world. I'm glad today that I lived in a home like that. I'm blessed beyond measure that I never had to get in that stuff, because I don't have to look back and say, I wished I hadn't have done. One of these days, you'll thank your daddy, mama, and youth pastor and pastor. But right now, you can thank them today. But right now, the greatest thing you can do is get real and get low and stay faithful. We could talk more about it, but the Bible says there that the ladies were coming to anoint the body of Christ when He was buried in the tomb on the third day. And the Bible says He was risen. And those ladies missed out on an opportunity that Mary didn't miss out on, because she did it when she had the chance. This is your chance. Why don't you spend a little bit of time? I'm done a little bit early, I believe. Why don't we spend a little bit of time at the altar and just worship Him while we have the opportunity? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation, working hearts. Jesus, I love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You for worship. Would You help us today? In Your name I pray.